bypass. Hot one out there. In fact, I was just talking to Missouri today. They said it was 104, 105 degrees up there in Missouri. So what is it right here? Looks like 95, sunny skies. They say it feels like 98 out there. And we are looking for, as far as the weather, stray thunderstorm is possible through the evening, partly cloudy skies, low of 73 tonight. So 95 right now in the fair city of Greenwood. And I do believe I have Bob Fisher on the line. He is County Council District 7. And Bob Fisher got some news updates for us. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. First, I'd like to say thank you again for having me on your show, and thank you to your listeners for tuning in.
Absolutely. And, of course, you actually won in the primary. You won in the primary.
Correct.
And then kind of update us what's been happening since then.
Well, I won in the primary back in June the 12th, and everything looked good. Everything was certified. And then this crazy lawsuit that's been going around the state saying that people didn't file their statement of economic interest correctly started creeping up, and it finally got to Greenwood. Robert Tinsley filed against the Democratic Party, and then the Democratic Party filed against the Republican Party and drew us all into this. There have been subpoenas and requests for information, and it seems to change on an hourly basis. But it gets into some crazy things, because to kick us off of the ballot, the Republicans and the Democrats, for what happened is kind of crazy, because in Greenwood is different than a lot of other places. The Voters Registration Office in Greenwood, a government office, posted in the Index Journal the instructions that said to file a statement of economic interest online to become a political candidate.
Sure.
Now, those of us seeking to run for office went to Connie Moody, the government official in charge of collecting and filing the proper information to certify us as a candidate. We supplied her with all the paperwork she requested, and in some cases, like mine, I even supplied more. I had my copy, my hard paper copy of my statement of economic interest. When I walked in, Miss Moody looked at me, and when I had it in my hand, she said, "We no longer need those," and pointed to her computer and said, "I've already pulled it up online that, you know, you're good." Now, because we did exactly what the government official requested, how can the government say you didn't file properly? Now, when Miss Moody, the government official in charge of this process, says, "We no longer need those," I feel I just have no legal right to force her to take them anyway.
Sure.
I trusted her to say we didn't need them. Now, from the beginning, this was a way to save incumbents from facing the voters by removing their challengers. As bad as it is, in some cases, it even gets worse. Now, Steve Brown won the Republican primary by defeating Patrick Moody, Connie Moody's husband, for the Republican nomination for Greenwood County Council District 5. By Ms. Moody, by her office not collecting the correct paperwork, Mr. Brown has been decertified, and now Patrick, her husband, will be put back on the ballot in place of Mr. Brown as a Republican nominee. Now,
wow.
Yeah, now that it gets better. Now Ms. Moody's office is in charge of checking the signatures, because we all went out and tried to get signatures so we could at least stay on as a petition candidate if we are removed from the Republican as Republicans. So Steve Brown, like I did, turned in his signatures, and now Ms. Moody's office is checking Steve Brown's signatures to see if the signatures look close enough to the originals in their files. If her office deems that these signatures do not look close enough to the originals, Mr. Brown will be totally removed from the ballot in November, ensuring that her husband, Patrick, is the only name left to vote on. Now, at this point, to satisfy this could be easy, but at this point I have not heard Mr. Moody. Oh, Mr. Moody has not stepped forth to attempt to save his wife's reputation by issuing a letter to the Republican Party stating that he would respectfully decline his name being put on the ballot. So, you know, in some cases, it looks even worse than it does in mine. But in my case, yes, I won the nomination. And if I'm forced to go with one hand tied behind my back, then that's what I'll do, because if they remove me from the ticket, and put Bob Jennings back on, then he will be the Republican nominee, and he will get straight party votes. I'll have to beat him totally as an independent. I'll have to defeat him again, and I'll have to go above the straight party votes to win. But that doesn't bother me as bad, because I actually, to get my signatures, I did more campaigning than I did even get elected. And people are getting very upset about this. And I got more signatures than I did votes.
Wow.
And people who voted for him said they were glad. They didn't know what all the issues were, and they were glad to sign my petition.
Sure. Well, that's why we wanted to make sure that everybody out there knew that you could sign a petition. That doesn't necessarily mean you had to support the person. If you decided to, that's great. But other than that, it just means we should have choice on the ballot.
Exactly. Well, the thing about signing, I have not met one person in the state that was running for office and has been threatened and started getting the signatures that has refused to sign, even their competitors, even
sure.
who the people they're going against. We're signing each other's because we feel it's right. I mean, even, you know, we won the primary, and we feel we should have the right to stay on the ballot as a Republican, or even the Democrats as a Democrat. But we still feel the right to vote. And because, in other words, we're one, we have not lost yet, so why should we be taken out?
Absolutely. And you know, this was a fine line that we're drawing here. And I personally think that we should not be doing this at this point. But the decision on all this, with this lawsuit and everything else, has to be made by August 15th. Is that correct?
That is my understanding. But since this is a situation that's never happened before, we had an attorney for the Republican Party out of Columbia over a phone conference tell us, he said, I cannot believe, he said, I can't tell you what's going to happen, because I could never have guessed that the state Supreme Court would have taken an old law and enforced it when there was a law signed in 2010 by Mark Sanford to streamline government and push things toward a more efficient government by filing online. They ignored a newer law to pick out an old law, and all it did was eliminated challengers so incumbents could stay in. That's the only thing the law really did.
Hmm. You know, the thing that's bothersome about this is you are telling me that Patrick Moody is put back on the ballot.
We haven't received official confirmation that Steve Brown has been taken off, but we have been told they are taking his name off the ballot. And instead of having according to the law, I think it's code 7-11-55 states that you must have a special primary if someone is decertified after a primary to fill that seat. But I got a funny feeling they're not going to do that. They're going to try to say that we were never certified to begin with, even though we have state documents that say we were. They're going to try to twist that one, too.
So, well, this is a fine mess we have going here in Greenwood.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It's unbelievable.
Now, what about you had said something, there was supposed to be a meeting tomorrow or something with the case on with David Stumbo?
Well, we received, toward the end of this week, I received a subpoena along with virtually everybody else that's Republican, or the Republican side did. The Democrats had received their subpoena a week or so ago that is requesting information of us, that we should have the information by not tomorrow but the Tuesday after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday there is an issue saying that even David Stumbo's case will be brought up Tuesday, this tomorrow, the 24th, in Greenwood County Court. Then there's another email that says, we're not sure when it's going to be, but it won't be in Greenwood County Court at this point. I did some phone calls, and from best I can understand, they're trying to find a retired judge to take this case, because apparently none of the judges that are not retired want to take this case.
And that case is whether to decertify David Stumbo?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't – it's really a sticky situation, and since it's never happened, no one can actually say what will happen.
Yeah.
And like I say, our deal is in most places, you register with the Republican Party or with the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Greenwood, they consolidate that. They let Connie Moody's office take it. And in a bit of Connie Moody's defense, I will state that on the website for the State Ethics Commission, it states under Statement of Economic Interest, the State Ethics Act requires candidates electronically file this form at the time becoming a candidate and provide evidence of such when filing with the officials responsible for the election. So she had us to do what the Ethics Commission said. So in her defense, she did do what was said. But in our defense, I feel that she really hasn't stepped out and said, hey, these candidates did file properly. These candidates, even some of these even had copies of their Ethics Commission, and I just didn't take them.
Exactly. So at this moment, you don't know, you are still certified, but you don't know whether you may be decertified.
That is correct.
And you don't know whether Bob Jennings, in your case, would be put back on the ballot, as at the same thing Patrick Moody could be put back on the ballot.
That is correct, yes.
So, these are unbelievable times. Now, of course, now things are happening across the state. I didn't realize that they potentially could put candidates back on the ballot that had lost, but that certainly changes, because my thought was we could have nobody officially on the ballot, kind of like up in Clemson where they had to have a write-in candidate.
Well, actually, in some cases, let's say the coroner's office, Sonny Cox is the Republican, and Kelly.
Oh, okay, Marcia Kelly Clark.
Yeah, those two. If those two signatures are not verified, then that seat will be a total write-in. Now, they both turned in signatures, and hopefully their signatures will check out, and they'll be okay, and they'll be petition candidates. But that whole race will be determined as petition candidates, and no Republicans or Democrats.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the solicitor's race, I understand Tinsley did not get enough signatures.
That's what I had heard. He said he had like 5,000. He needed six.
And what about Bob Merritt?
I do not know. I know Bob Merritt was supposed to collect his signatures and take them to Columbia. I've heard nothing else about that.
Nothing else about that. So does this make you want to give up or fight harder here?
Well, when we first found this information out that Tinsley had filed a lawsuit, and when he filed against the Democrats, we knew it would eventually come to us, the Republicans. And it felt like somebody hit me in the stomach. To know you won, your votes were certified, and you were going to be the only person, only name on the ballot in November. And then to find out through this political sabotage that your name was a good chance you're going to be removed, and you had to hustle up and get signatures of 5% of your voters. And for a couple of days, I really felt sick at my stomach, and I got out, I started getting the signatures, and several people started helping me, people I didn't even know started giving me a sheet, I'll get it filled up. I was supposed to have 287 signatures. By the time these old and new friends started telling me, yeah, I got your sheet filled up, I ended up with 583 signatures.
And, of course, those had to be in your district too, right, Bob?
Correct, yes. Yeah. That was all Hodges, Ware Shoals, Coltsbury. So it was. It made me feel good that many people were willing to sign this fast at the last moment. And it started making a lot of these people are voters that, like most voters, you don't really know all the details that are going on because you're busy trying to live your life, feed your family, and take care of things. And you'd like to know that politicians are at least honest enough to be looking after your best interest, not their own.
Exactly.
And when they start finding out this is all brewing behind the scenes, they get upset. One gentleman who was from Florida told me, he says, I cannot believe it. They pick on Florida and talk about how bad Florida is. He said, we're a whole lot better than y'all are. And I couldn't argue the point.
That's true.
But it has really turned around. And no, I'm not wanting to quit. It makes me more determined to go out there. And I mean, if I've got to win again with one hand tied behind my back, that's what I've got to do. Because there's a lot of people stepped out and shown support for me. And if I didn't fight for this, I'd be letting them down too, not just myself.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm very fortunate. My wife's very – it's hurt her, I think, more than it has me, because when somebody picks on me, it's just, you know, somebody's picking on your family.
Sure.
And it's hurt her more than me, I believe, but she's been real brave, and she stood behind me, and I appreciate that, because it makes a difference, because, like I said, without your family support, how could you do this?
Well, absolutely. Now, what have you talked to any, like Jim DeMint or any of our politicals here?
Yes, I happen to be traveling and run into Jim DeMint, and we talked for a moment. I explained my situation and asked him, did he have any advice? He smiled at me and said that they looked into trying to fix this at a federal level, but the problem was it was a state law, and the separation, you know, where states' rights come in,
mm-hmm.
that they really feel they didn't have any legal grounds to push it. They wanted to, but they couldn't get a right angle on it. But the thing he told me was, don't let it go. Don't let the incumbents win by cheating. If they want to win by a vote, that's fine. But if they lose by a vote, you fight for it.
Absolutely. Well, this is the stuff that should make people stand up and really want to get involved and vote in this election and see how important this election actually is. People keep talking about it on the national level, on the state level, and, of course, on the local level. People need to stand up, and this election is very, very important.
You're right. That's true. Your local politicians than you ever will with your national politicians. And you can affect your home, your neighborhood more by working locally and being in touch with your local politicians than you probably ever will on a national level.
You're absolutely right. So we certainly hope that you'll keep us updated on what is happening out there. Very interesting stuff. Steve Brown has been decertified. Question whether Patrick Moody will end up back on the ballot. And, of course, you at this moment are not decertified. But logic says that it should be coming, right?
It is. I won the Republican seat, and I'm not going to give it up lightly. I will go to court and try to defend my stance that, hey, I followed the government's rules, and, you know, the government, if I filed wrong, it's because I gave the wrong advice. Just give me a chance to fix it.
Well, you know, personally, I think that our officials down there in Columbia should have fixed this when it first came up rather than throwing it up to the Supreme Court and not coming in and saying, hey, this is wrong. We did overrule this, and this is the law that should be on the books, and the other one should have been taken off.
Well, do you know that Knox, the guy who started this, the representative down there, I think it's Lexington,
uh-huh.
he actually, they had a fix for this, a retroactive fix, and he said he would bury it, not let it show up, is my understanding.
Wow.
There was enough incumbents down there who could benefit from this. They just, okay, we'll let it go.
See, now, that is just, you know, here's the other thing, Bob. Why do you think it hasn't appeared on a national level? I'm just kind of confused because this is the kind of stuff that national politics and national media loves to get into.
I don't know. Won't you call Neil Bortz or some of those people to let them know? Oh, it would be interesting to see what happens. And it may be a point, it's so absurd that nobody really wants to believe it.
Yeah.
I've tried to explain this to people, and they've said, do what? That can't be. How could this happen? And I'm like, it did.
I know. I think it is totally amazing that you actually had already filed it. You had you and everybody else had either that number or, as you said, Connie said, oh, I've already pulled it up. She admitted that she had it. So what's the deal here?
Well, it's just a crooked way to be honest. It's a crooked way to get rid of challengers. Because this law does not affect any incumbents at all. Not one single incumbent is affected by this.
Yeah, and that makes it even worse, Bob.
It really does.
I mean, if they felt comfortable in the job that they were doing, and it actually that's what an election is about. It's about saying, hey, do you agree with what I've done for you or what I've done for our community here, or do you want somebody else to give it a try?
Exactly.
And if you've done what's necessary for the community, for your constituents in the situation, you should have nothing to fear. That's my position anyway.
And in the primary, the voters spoke.
Yes.
And the incumbents did lose in our local elections to those of us who were challengers.
Yep.
and it's just a way they get another shot at it.
Yeah. Well, I hate to hear this, and I certainly hope that you are able to maintain your position on the ballot as a Republican. You are, of course, running for, well, you had won County Council District 7. You had won the seat. There was no Democratic opposition.
Correct. My name, as it was set, my name was to be the only name on the ballot. Now, by filing petitions, what a lot of people don't understand, they think we've got to leave our position as Republicans to be independents now. The Republican Party and the Election Commission said, no, you can run as an independent and a Republican at the same time. That if we stay that way and we were to get voted on because we are the same person, the votes would count both ways. In other words, you're 100 one way and 100 the other way equals 200. It sounds a little crazy, but that's what we were told. So we don't actually have to forfeit our Republican nomination. They
okay.
have to take it away from us.
Okay. So, well, that makes more sense because I have wondered how that worked. How would you make the decision to jump off or to stay on the ballot? Yeah.
Well, that's it. We don't have to make that decision.
You don't have to make that decision.
At this time, we've had several people say, no, it's been done before in the state.
But in the case of Steve Brown, he has already been decertified.
Well, we haven't received paperwork. I have not seen it. And I talked to Steve earlier today, and I asked him, had he received any paperwork? And he said, no, he hadn't received it. But he is told that he is in the process of being decertified. And the reason, the difference between his situation and mine is, He's honest. He said that, no, I walked in. I did not have my paper copy when I walked in. I just had my confirmation of my copy of my confirmation that I had filed what she asked for. But my deal was I had all that together, so I had mine when I walked in. And that's the difference between the two of us. I just happened to have mine, and she said, we don't need that. Where his is, he didn't have it. So they said they will go ahead and decertify Steve Brown. And at my understanding, as he is right now, they will look at just taking him off the ballot as he never existed. And if his signatures, they have to take the signatures that you signed today. And like for me, I'm 52, but I was registered to vote when I was 18. My signature does not look the same.
Yeah,
they've got to compare those signatures. And if they make their own judgment call, those signatures are not a close enough match. They don't count that signature.
Wow.
So if... People.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was just the birth date or your voter registration card, and of course your signature and your address that were the issue. I didn't realize they were matching signatures. The actual how it was written.
Yes, they have to match signatures.
Wow.
And they told us we needed about 25% more, and we didn't even know if that would be a safe margin. But it, like I say, that what is odd about it is Connie Moody's office, the same office who messed up Steve Brown's ability to stay on the ballot by not requesting the right information, and I have defended her, but it's still her office didn't collect the information actually required. And so that will get him taken off the ballot. Now her office is looking over the signatures that would, if they're not acceptable to their standards,
right,
actually take Steve Brown, slap off the ballot, and lets her husband's name be put back on.
Wow.
I mean, that's, and like I say, that could be easily remedied by Patrick Moody stepping up and say, I'll do the honorable thing and save my wife's reputation by proving this is not a conflict of interest.
Absolutely. That does appear to be a conflict there. Now, what about Shannon Riley?
Shannon Riley has attained, he's obtained a lawyer. He is going to fight this. He said that he did have his copy of his statement of economic interest with him, and just like me, it was turned away. Angie Woodhurst and Sonny Cox both said they had theirs, and she told them the same thing. She told me, oh, we don't need that anymore. So there's a total of five people who can testify that, yes, you know, had statements with us, and it was, we were told, oh, we won't take that anymore. And in our situation, it's the government official telling us.
Absolutely.
You know, and if the government tells you, this is how you do it, then they should at least give you a chance to correct it by post-dating, you know, backing up the signatures or at least allowing us to stick them in now. And the weird thing is a lot of people think this statement of economic interest that's causing such a big issue is some major thing. All it is a two-page document that states your name, what office you're running for, how much money you have made off of the government. If you've got a government job or somebody in your family has a government job, you have to list that, and you have to list your business connections where you work. All it is to say, last year I made X amount of dollars off the government. That's all the thing is.
So why is that really that important?
Well, years ago, before we had computers,
yes,
we ran into an issue that people wanted to file for public office, but nobody knew what their secrets were, who they worked for, how much money they had made off government entities and this kind of stuff.
Sure.
So to be fair and open, the South Carolina Ethics Commission says, let's be ethical. Let's be open about what, how much money we make off the government. Let's tell people. Well, people were coming in and filing to run for office, but not filing these pieces of paper. So nobody knew. So they said, okay, you've got to bring in the paper copy of your statement of economic interest when you file, so we know you're being truthful. And they used to mail these copies in. If you mail a copy in now, they put it back in an envelope and mail it back to you with a statement of 2010, Mark Sanford signed into law a law that states we will no longer accept anything but electronic filing. You cannot file a paper copy now.
But you needed to take your paper copy with you to the when you filed for office.
Yeah, I did take it.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's but you can't mail it in, you can't turn it in, but
yeah,
you're supposed to have it with you. That's very interesting.
The old law was that's when you filed it, it's when you went to run for office. You had to bring one in when you went to run for office. But now, since everything's become electronic and to save the state money, so you're not paying a state employee to take a piece of paper and enter it into a computer, they let you enter it yourself in the computer.
Sure.
And it was a great thing because it saved money.
Exactly.
And it was that law was never intended to be used, and it was never intended for them to take an old law to override and
supersede,
decertify people.
Right, supersede it, yeah. All right, well, Bob, I certainly hope as more information comes to light that you will let us know, and we want to keep you in the loop and telling us what's going on because it's kind of hard to find out in some aspects.
Well, I'll be glad to tell you. I know it's going to be still changing by the hour as it goes now, and if you have any questions, please call me back.
All right, I certainly will. Bob Fisher, Council District Number 7. Certainly hope you're able to stay on the ballot. This doesn't sound like a good thing at all.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling us, Bob.
See you later.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right. I am Ann Eller right here with you on a Monday afternoon. Gosh, let's see what we've got here for the temperature. This is kind of frightening out here. Did you hear all that he said here today? What do you think about it? I think it's pretty darn scary. Hey, if you've got a question or a comment, please don't hesitate to give us a call. This is our county right here, and, of course, we're talking about our county and how things are going to affect us. To have this type of stuff happening, to have stuff backed up to what it was before the primary election, to put these people back on the ballot, what do you think about it? Give me a call. 229-7984, that's 229-7984. 95 degrees, sunny skies out there, looks like it feels like 98 degrees, and it looks like we might have a thunderstorm, but not high probabilities tonight, low of 73. Tomorrow, sunny with a few afternoon clouds, hot, high of 97 degrees, and let's see how the price of gold did today. Pretty much earlier today, we were down. I haven't even looked at it in a few hours, so I don't know. It did come back up some. Let's see how we're closing out here on the price of gold today, just so you'll know. This is, what do we got here? What do I have? Well, let's see what the end of the day is. Coming up right now, right here live from Sharp Facets Gallery, actually. We've clawed our way back. That's right. It started at, I think, 1564. Right now, gold is down $7.20. Closing, looks like we're at 1576.80. Silver is, silver, that's platinum. Okay, silver is at down just 29 cents, 27.04. So over that $27 mark, that's a good thing that it stays over 27. You know, if you've got gold or diamonds or sterling silver, any of those things, we pay the most because we look at the item. We're not just buying the gold like so many places. They just buy the gold. They just buy the silver. They don't care about the condition. They don't care if it's got diamonds in it. Well, it matters, folks. You know when you bought it, it matters. You know when you inherited, it mattered. So if you want to get the most for it, bring it right here to Sharp Fastest Gallery on the 72 bypass. Be smart. If you're going to sell, sell here at Sharp Fastest Gallery. We're right here on the bypass between Bank of America and Burger King. Come see us today. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays, 10 to 2. All right, now let's hear a word from our sponsors. Then I'll come back. Hey, if anybody's got a question or a comment about what Bob Fisher had to say, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to discuss this a little bit more going into that 5 o'clock hour. Stay right here with us. Don't you go away.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. Hey, do you have gold to sell? Come see us. Sterling silver, come see us. Couldn't be a better time. And we just had a call. In fact, if you'd like to jump in on this conversation, Ree's on the phone this afternoon, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We just had a call from Hal there, and he is in District 5. And to say what he said. He said what the Moody's are doing is rotten. He has ever heard of. He's going to be 75 years old, and he says he has always voted for Patrick, and that because he knew his parents and everything else, but he says this is wrong. What do you feel about this? What do you feel? Do you feel that if somebody was on the ballot, had produced all the paperwork that was supposed to be produced, what do you feel about it? Do you think that it is right that at this moment it looks like Steve Brown is being decertified? He has not gotten an official letter yet or email, however they're doing it, but he has been telephoned and said that he will be decertified. How do you feel about that? Do you think candidates, should be able to back it up and put a candidate that was on, that was defeated, back on the ballot? I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I think that's not right. So what is your feeling about this? Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Do you feel like, Hal, this bothers you a lot? This is not right? Give us a call, 229-7984. Things like this shouldn't happen. Things like this shouldn't happen. You know, if Connie got the information that was requested, that as she understood it, as it was emailed to her, I mean, it has been all over the email correspondence that she had. If the State Ethics Commission said that this is the way it should be done, and now they're backing it back, and that we could have candidates that won, I'll use the word fair and square. Should this be happening? What do you think? Should candidates that have actually been defeated be put back on the ballot to back it up? I don't think so, folks. And in, as Bob Fisher said, should he have to fight this fight with one hand behind his back? If he is decertified, and if he is, now he doesn't think he will because he did show up with his paper copy, but if he is decertified, should he have to be on the ballot as an independent and go up against an incumbent that he beat, that he defeated? What do you think? Is that wrong? Give me a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Right is right, wrong is wrong. What do we got going on here in Greenwood? I don't know, but I know that the people that have gone out and gotten all these petitions certainly have worked very, very hard. Now, I do understand David Stumbo, they find a judge to take the case. I understand from what Bob Fisher told us, they're trying to find a retired judge. Now, what does that tell you, folks? What does that tell you? If you can't even find a judge to take it who is on the bench now and is concerned about the political backlash here, how do you feel about what is going on here? Got a question or a comment about it? Give me a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. You know, I think it's very interesting that Bob talked to Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint said they wanted to get involved, but it's a states' right issue, and the federal government could not get involved. They couldn't find an angle. You know, the angle is that the law that was signed in 2010 was the most current law. The problem is they never took the older law off the books. And why would that law now supersede it? This is not right, folks. So if you got a question or a comment, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. You know me. I want to find out all the details. And we just had Bob Fisher was our guest. I think he was pretty straightforward about how he felt about it and how he went out and got all these signatures. I find it interesting. I had no idea that they were, quote, matching up your signature, as they saw, as the voter registration office sees fit. What do you think about that? Is your signature the same when you first registered to vote versus how it is today? Has it changed a little bit? Is it a little more shaky maybe than it was when you first signed up to register to vote when you were 18, 19, or 20? What do you think? Should they? I was under the impression it just had to do with your birth date, your address, and of course your full legal name that you you vote under. I didn't realize they were matching signatures. So no wonder they need until August 15th on this. Pretty poor. Hey, I am Ann Eller right here with you this afternoon. Looking at the news, wondering where we're going, and trying to figure out what kind of problems it's going to create for Greenwood County. You know, I would hate for us to have a situation where we had nobody on the ballot. But on the flip side, you know, when one is voted out of office, you are voted out of office because the people have spoken. They are the bosses. The people are the bosses. And if the bosses say that you are fired from your job, are you not fired from your job? So what do you think about the Patrick Moody thing? What do you think about Steve Brown? What do you think about Bob Fisher and all our other candidates here? What about the coroner's office, about people off the ballot there and people being put back on? What do you think about this? Give me a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. You know, Jennings Maccabee had sent out a press release. Floyd Nicholson definitely denied what was said, but according to Dee Compton, who was the contact on this, said that Floyd and the Democrats campaigned for choice and change. Now they wanted to protect incumbents and limit change. Fortunately, I guess we could say for Jennings Maccabee that he did not file in the office in Greenwood County, and he did file in McCormick County and filed all the required forms online and paper copies with the McCormick County Republican Party as required. So lots of issues going on this, and it looks like it's not going to be settled anytime soon. When you have to look at signatures and compare your signature when you registered to vote versus your signature today, it does change a little bit, or maybe you're in a little uptight mood, or maybe it's just not quite the same. Are you going to have your signature not count? How do you feel about it? I don't feel too good. So I don't know. How about you? Hey, I am Ann Eller, looking for your calls, looking for your comments. Hal had something to say. He's very upset over there in District 5 with what the Moody's are, what he says the Moody's are doing. So how do you feel? Give us a call, 229-7984. Looking for your call, looking for somebody to tell me, what do you think? Do you support? Do you not support? Are you mad as hell and you can't stand it anymore? Give me a call. 7984. I want your call. I want to know what you're thinking. Hey, you know, speaking of calls, tomorrow morning we are going to have Congressman James Clyburn on the air with us. Looking forward to talking to him tomorrow morning. Got a lot of interesting issues going on up there in Congress. Hey, by the way, while we're talking about it, how do you feel about Congress taking a month off? They'll be out of there from August 6th through, September 6th? They take off. So they are finishing up their last week, of course, trying to get a lot of things through. A lot of issues to deal with up there in Congress. Should they just put off doing a budget and looking at sequestration and all these other things? Looks like they're probably going to, but, of course, there are those who think they should not. Mick Mulvaney got together with Barney Frank. Can you believe that? And they actually have put forth an amendment on how to deal with some of these issues. I'm going to be talking about that in just a moment. But right now, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and you know, I'll be right back. Hey, how you feel about what's going on in Greenwood? Give me a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. I want your call. These days are
all. This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Sharp Facets Gallery. We are looking at this situation and just wondering what is going to come of it. If you're just joining us on this conversation, we did have Bob Fisher, who is District, let's see, what district is it, 7? Is that right? District 7, running for county council. You know, this lawsuit that Robert Tinsley filed actually the afternoon of July 3rd. July 3rd is affecting not only the Democrats, but now the Republicans Party, and of course we're looking at candidates. We could end up with none of the candidates on the ballot, and of course I think the shocker right here at this minute is that we found out that Steve Brown is supposed to be in the process of being decertified. Now, of course, we know that Patrick Moody was his who Steve Brown was running against. And Bob Fisher brought up a very interesting fact. Could Patrick Moody end up back on the ballot as they rewind it back to pre-primary? I don't think that's not the right thing. Steve Brown won. What do you feel about it, folks? We just had a call from Al. He says he believes it is just another way for the higher-ups to regulate who's in office. Sounds like a way that incumbents for sure can continue to control without any repercussions, shall we say. So how do you feel about it? 229-7984. That's 229-7984. How do you feel about it when somebody says that we can't even find a judge to take the case on the David Stumbo? They're looking for a retired judge to take the case to see whether David, I guess, still stays on the ballot or not. These are things that are troublesome. Why would somebody not stand up and be the judge for it? Right is right, wrong is wrong. We have to look for a retired judge? Come on now, folks, this isn't right. 229-7984. Give me a call. You know what Hal said? He's in District 5, and he says it's the most rotten thing he has ever heard of. That's between Steve Brown and Patrick Moody. And he's 75 years old, and nothing is going to scare him. He's going to stand up for what's right. So, Hal, you go. District 5, obviously kind of a mess over there. Bob Fisher suggested that Patrick Moody perhaps should do the honorable thing and make sure that there is no question about his wife's job with the commission, the election commission here in Greenwood. So do you have an opinion about it? Do you think it's all okay? What do you think about the fact that they could be deciding whether the votes, whether the, excuse me, the signatures on the petition are authentic based on your signature when you registered to vote? Kind of a question, not one that I had thought about, not one that had been raised to me. These are things we're dealing with. You got a question or a comment? We have a few more minutes here. 229-7984. Even Jim DeMint, Senator Jim DeMint, said they tried to get involved in it, but they couldn't simply because it is a state issue versus a federal issue. So there you go. Kind of bothersome. Hey, by the way, it looks like we're going to be going to the Republican convention down there in Tampa. What do you think about that? WCRS will be on the move end of August. And I certainly hope you enjoyed the show that we did. I've had several people commenting on my roving mic. Yes, we went all the way to Columbia to the State Museum to see the Titanic exhibit, so that was pretty cool. But, gosh, got any more comments out there? 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Candidates, how do you feel about it? This election is important, maybe more important than we know. When a 2010 law is trumped for a 2008 law, when we were supposed to be streamlining the process for election, and this statement of condition as far as doing business with the with federal kind or a state government or federal contractors becomes the issue that is yes, you're in or no, you're not when you were told to file online. I thought it was also very interesting that Bob Fisher told us that if you sent in, if you mailed in your statement, your ethical statement, they returned it back and said you must file online, see the law from 2010, signed on by Governor, then Governor Mark Sanford. Troublesome, isn't it? Yes, I'm right here with you. This is Meet Me at the Diner. Controversial and trying to find out what the heck is going on. You know me, I like it straight and I like to know the details. 229-7984. It is 5 o'clock. It is time for the news. Let's see if we got any more comments coming in. You're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. We'll be back. Don't you go away.